Hey, church family, welcome to Church News. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad that you decided to be with us at church today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
First, we have Growth Track. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month right after church service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of Only Believe, helps you learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them to make a difference, and it gives you the perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe. So come ready to grow, connect, and take your next steps.
Hey everyone, Pastor Randy here, and I have a great good news spotlight for you. A man came up to me after church this past Sunday and wanted to give me a testimony. Last year, we had a healing night service, which we're having another one this coming September the 21st at 6 p.m., so put it in your notes. But he came and he told me that he had some pain in his back, lower back. He couldn't get rid of it. It was excruciating. But during my message, before we laid hands on people, I talked about unforgiveness, that sometimes unforgiveness will keep us from a healing, a manifestation of a healing. He took that to heart, and immediately he asked the Lord to forgive him for unforgiveness that he had for his ex-wife. He said after that, we laid hands on him and he felt a pop in the bottom of his back and pain left immediately. And now for over a year, he's had no pain of any kind. He gave me that testimony. So I just want to just talk to you today and say, listen, if you have any type of unforgiveness in your heart against anybody, and it might be holding you back from a prayer being answered, maybe from a healing or anything like that, listen, give it to God. Let him deal with it. Ask for forgiveness and see what God will do for you.
It's that time of year again. Operation Christmas Child is here, and this is your chance to be a part of something powerful. We are asking each family to fill one box filled with toys, hygiene supplies, and school supplies. These are not just gifts. These are a doorway for children all around the world to hear about the love of Jesus, many hearing it for the very first time. Each box that you pack makes a difference. Shoeboxes are available in the lobby for just $1, and you can bring your already filled boxes to the lobby anytime between now and November 9th. If you're not up to filling a box, you can donate and we will use your donation to purchase supplies for our church-wide packing party on November 9th. Let's spread the gospel one box at a time. And don't forget to join us on November 9th for our packing party.
Hey gentlemen, it's Pastor Tim. I just want to invite every guy in the church, regardless of your age, to our next Brotherhood Breakfast happening in October. It's a great time of just fellowship. We have good food and we have some really solid time in the Word and prayer together. It's going to be a great time and we'd love for you to join us. And then in October, we're actually doing a hike together afterwards at John Bryan State Park. So if you would like to join us for that, we'd love to have you for that as well. If you need any more information, don't hesitate to reach out to myself or Andrew Rogers. We'd love to talk with you about Brotherhood Breakfast. Hope to see you there.
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Ladies, join us for Gather, a special women's only event happening on November 1st at 9:30 a.m. This will be a time to connect with other women, enjoy a delicious meal, and hear an encouraging word from Pastor Nicole. Whether you've been coming here for years or if you're new to the church, Gather is a space for you. A space to be uplifted, refreshed, and encouraged alongside other women in the Word. Let us know that you'll be there by scanning the QR code on the screen or heading out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And we would like to note that there will not be childcare for this event. We cannot wait to see all you ladies there.
On Sunday, October 5th, we are having a salvation-centered service. And in this service, we are believing that many people will come to follow Jesus for the very first time. During 7 days of prayer, we ask that you write down the names of unsaved family and friends on these salvation cards. And we believe that during this time of prayer, that God was moving on their hearts and preparing them for this very moment. Now, we are asking you to take that next step and to invite them to come to church with you on October 5th. And you can do that by using the invite cards on the pews next to you. And you can even make it personal by adding your name and your phone number to the invite card so that way you can stay in touch with them. So come ready and expectant as we believe that God is going to move in a very powerful way.
And as always, for any more information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's prepare our hearts for what the Lord wants to speak to us today through the message.
Hello, hello, Mighty Church. I was just thinking of how mighty of a people that you are, set apart for God's use. That's who you are. Look at your neighbor and say, that's who you are. Hey, that's right. For all of you visitors that are here, I'm Pastor Nicole, and I'm honored that you chose to come be a part of our church today and that you would allow us to sow into your hearts and your minds and your spirits. I just want you to know what you're in for. You have come to a body of believers that believe in the impossible. Right. Yep, they're those crazy people, but that's all right. Because that's who Jesus was. He was the one who believed when no one else believed. God said, all things are possible. Amen, church. If you will believe, things that are lost, things that are broke, they get found and they get fixed. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just submit our hearts and our minds to you today. Father, as we come together to enjoy and join in with the word and what your spirit is doing, we just ask, Lord, that the word would go forth, that it would come into our minds, and that it would settle in our hearts. God, and those seeds would begin to grow and take over and bring and bust forth into new life, that we could be renewed daily in your word, by your church, Lord. This is what we do. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As Caleb and Ava reminded us, October 5th is coming and that we're going to have a service specifically mapped around the unbeliever. What does that mean? It means that you might not get really fed like fat and full when you walk out, because we're going to bring it down to really, really, really simple gospel, the ABCs, and we should all go back to the beginning and remember where we came from. Amen? But in the book of Luke, this is what it says, 14:23. I want to read this to you, and I chose the version that said it best. I don't know what it is. I'm going to be real. It says that you and I are to go out to the roads and the country lanes and to compel them to come in to God's house so it may be full. Now, church, it's not just only believe that could be full. It's God's house. His kingdom could be full. Please, please, please love someone enough to invite them. I think that's important. Now let's dive right into our series called In the Garden. And let's remember that from last week, we learned what the garden represents. It represents God's dwelling place on earth. The Garden of Eden was a very special place where man, Adam and Eve, man, could meet with God. They could encounter him one-on-one. They could talk with him. They could walk with him. They could have fellowship with him. And I'm going to use this word in church. They were naked. Now you say, oh, yeah, and? Listen, naked and unashamed. Can you imagine? Like David and Frederick. I'm just going to say, if you were sitting on the front row today together, Nate, look, I'm even mentioning the words and I'm covering up with my coat. Why? I don't want to. Because it's shameful. It's a place that these are your intimate spaces. No one should see those crevices. But the Lord didn't care to see any crevice that man or woman had. Everything he made was beautiful and good. Naked. It's important that you know that, because still today in Christ, in Christendom, God doesn't care what you look like. And after working in the field, I don't know that he cared what Adam smelled like. I think that he was just happy that Adam showed up to meet with him. Amen. So the garden is a good thing. It's a place where we meet. But we know all of that changed when Adam and Eve were posed with a choice. The tree of life, which brought eternal goodness and life for eternity. Or there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And everyone knows the little slippery, crafty guy. Well, we don't know he was slippery then. He was slippery after God cursed him. Anyways, it said then he will crawl on the belly after he'll crawl on his belly after he was cursed. So I don't know what he looked like, but I know that he was cunning. And he was the most crafty of all the beasts that had been made. And he started to sow into Eve's life. And Eve started to give ear to what the devil was saying, that she could be like God. And really, God was holding back his goodness from her. See, she didn't want to believe that God really had her best interest at heart. She got deceived. And they took it. And when they did, they began to doubt God's word and believe in themselves instead. That they could do life better without God than with him. So immediately, it starts death in motion. Now let's turn to John 15:1-8. Because I'm going to catch you up from last week with just this one scripture. All of you that were here last week, you've read it. But for those that were not, we're going to read it again. It said, I am the true vine. This is Christ speaking. The red letters, and my Father is the gardener. That means God. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Someone say prune. So that it will be even more fruitful. Notice it was fruitful, but it can be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. For no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. This is called codependency. Do you understand that you only grow within Christ? And without him, we are nothing. No life, no Jesus, no growth, nothing. We are just people inhabiting this earth. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, in short, we know that this is a garden, and that God is a gardener. And he likes to garden, or I don't think he would have used all these analogies. Jesus is in his garden, and we now have access to a new restored, renewed fellowship and relationship with Christ through his son, Jesus Christ. But there's something that's important, because we have, in order to bear that fruit, in order to bring forth or to carry the fruits or to have hanging fruit, we must remain in Jesus. It's in him we live. It's in him we move. It's in him we have our total existence and being comes from in Christ himself. That's you and I. And when we remain in him and his words in us, then it begins to work and grow these fruits in our lives. Let me just say this. The proof in the pudding is that the garden wasn't meant to be visited. It wasn't meant to be passed by. It was meant that you would be placed in the garden. Did you hear me? Not walk by the garden. Not visit the garden on Easter and Christmas. But stay in the garden. Because it's in the garden where you and I are grown. And whether we like it or not, have you ever had somebody come up to you and they say, oh, You know, I just noted such growth in your life. You know what they're saying? I've noticed you've been spending time with Jesus. You're not the person you used to be. I remember you like this, but now you are like this. Not in stature, not in height or weight, but in spiritual maturity. You are no longer this little wee plant that needed nurturing and sticks and tying up and cutting off, but you're growing and nurturing into this beautiful thing that looks like Christ. It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. Oh, that we would all hear someone say, oh, I see growth in your life. I see you budding and turning into this beautiful flower that God's called you to be. But what are these fruits? Well, let's go to Galatians 5:22. For some of you, you're already thinking this is very kindergarten, but it's not kindergarten in the body of Christ today. Because I'll tell you, we got a lot of people. Well, we're just going to let the word speak for itself. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. It says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When the world looks at you and I, these are the fruits of the Spirit. When you interact with the world, there should be evidence that these fruits are present. I got three amens. When you work in the world, when you participate in the world, when you go into society, these nine gifts or fruits of the Spirit should be present in your life. Whew, amen. I understand some of them aren't easy. But when these fruits are seen, there will be evidence and proof that you and I have been walking with the Spirit. Now, here's the thing. These are not just what I said earlier. I'm going to bring that in here. These are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are not the nine gifts. These are nine fruits. Let me explain something to you. The fruits, when you see them in someone's life, are proof that the Holy Spirit has been working in their life and on them. These are not the fruits of our Holy Spirit. See, he's perfect. He's already worked out his life. He is the Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end. He's a part of the Godhead. Your spirit in the spirit world needs no help. He's already perfect. And when he comes to abide in you, he's in you, but you have a spirit that he's trying to recreate. He's trying to nurture your spirit and bring it up to speed, because your spirit is your spirit. It ain't his spirit. And if you're going to live in him, then it's going to be his spirit that he wants you to model. Not your own attitude, not your own value, not your own system, but his. See, he's a brand. Jesus Christ is a brand. You and I are Christians. It's important you know what Christian you are. You are a disciple of Jesus. And I'm going to say this right now, not to put on any hate right now. You, above all, are a Christ follower rather than an American Christian. I'm going to tell you why. American Christians love their country. They love God. But do they follow him? Just because you put an American flag in your truck with a cross on the other side doesn't mean that you live for Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? And I'm speaking out of the heart because I want America changed as much as you do. But it doesn't happen with a hypocritical view of what Christendom looks like in America today. Because what it looks like today is what it should have looked like thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. It's the same. The early church has not changed. It's the modern day church. We give ourselves over to these four things. The apostles' doctrine. Guess what that is? That's the Bible. We give ourselves over to prayer. We give ourselves over to fellowship. And we give ourselves over to communion. Don't tell me you're a Christian if you aren't practicing the things of God and what he wants us to do in today's world. I love that there's a great Christian awakening right now. Praise the Lord that we would finally get on task and on point, that we would come back to a reckoning to cry out for God in our nation once again. I hate that it took a life of a man in order to get us to see the truth, in order that it would get us to rally together as a body of believers and say that we have a purpose that's greater than us. We have a purpose that's greater than just coming to church on Sunday and going back on Monday and living the life that we lead. Amen. Let it be to God that we would rise up and that we would start speaking out of the Spirit and start carrying the fruits of the Spirit with us, that the world would know us by our love. Our love. The last time you had a conversation, was there love in it? The last time there were actions towards others outside of the church, was there gentleness and kindness and meekness involved? Or were you frustrated, aggravated, and put off by who they were and how they lived their lives and what they did? Why is it that we're surprised? Sinners do what sinners do. They haven't found the love of Christ. Sometimes it means that if you and I are going to be in the garden and we are going to bear fruit, then it means that while remaining in Jesus, because this is being recreated and restored and brought back to its perfection, which, by the way, you will never reach perfection until Christ comes back. So that means we're always in the garden. He's always at work in our life. There's always something more that can be shaved off of you. You've never arrived and everyone else hasn't. That's called self-righteousness. But because of that, we understand that there are some things that might have to be cut off in our life. It means that there might be some pruning, a cutting away of some things in our life. Why? Because if there's parts of our Christian lives that are not producing fruit, then God comes in with his spiritual trimmers. And he starts to trim them off. And I'm going to be real with you. Sometimes we don't do well with that process. Sometimes when God sees our nakedness, we don't want to come to that place. We don't want to reveal the broken space in who we are. We don't want to reveal that we have failed. We don't want to reveal to him the true person we are. And we think that because we hide it to all of you, that we should hide it to God, when actually, as soon as you step into the presence of God, you should go, here I am, and just take your clothes off. He has X-ray vision. You understand? He already knows it's present. Why do you think he can't see it? He's fully God. He's fully Jesus. He's fully the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that he does not know. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the one who writes your life story. He's the one who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Why would we be hiding ourselves in front of him? I'll tell you why. Because we avoid the garden because we don't want to be trimmed. Did you hear me? See, there is stuff that has to be tended to by God and cut off and removed, but your flesh doesn't want to let him at it. You think if you keep pushing it down or shoving it to the back, he's just going to forget about it. But what I'm going to say is that that's not the way the word works. In Genesis 3:9, last week we learned that God showed up in the garden looking for Adam. Adam and Eve have ate of the tree. They know all of a sudden they're naked, and now they're hiding. They're all hiding in the bushes because they don't want him to see themselves. Now, he's already seen them. He just hasn't seen them in the light they now know. Condemnation was never a thing until the bite of the fruit, and condemnation came. Now they knew they were naked. God didn't care. God's walking in the garden. Adam! Eve, where are you? I don't think he was going, Adam, Eve, You get yourselves out here now, you little dirty, filthy animals. What you been up to? He didn't say that. God was loving. He was kind. He was gentle. Adam, where are you? Come on, I've come to walk with you. Where are you? There's no reason to hide from me. I'm your father. Adam comes milling out. God, here we are. What's wrong? We're naked now. And he's like, yep. Eve, what have you done? It wasn't, what have you done? Now look at what I gotta fix. He's not your earthly father. He don't care if the milk was spilled. He don't care that there's a problem in life. What he cares is that you show up to walk with him in spite of your failure, in spite of your weakness, in spite of, I know that I've done wrong. Let's read the scripture. I'm going to prove this to you because here's what it is. Let's go to Galatians 5, 16 and 18. It says, so I walk by the Spirit and you, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Sound familiar? Two trees in the garden. One's good, one's bad. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, did it say if you were perfect? Did it say if you've never sinned? But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the law, let me remind you, condemned for what you did because there was no grace in place right there. But what God is saying here is that the only way that you and I can become Christ-like is to walk with God and the Spirit. You and I, outside of the Spirit, cannot get right. Did you hear me? God doesn't mean for you to be out of the garden, even though there's sin in your life. What he wants you to do is when he cries out to you, hey, Adam, where are you? I'm right here, God. Look what I did. I'm so sorry that I failed again. And the Spirit comes in and the transforming work of God says, I know. Let me help you. Why don't you ask for my help before? Why don't you let me do this for you? The scripture says that we're not condemned by the law anymore, for there is grace. But then it says, do we go on sinning and sinning so that grace could abound so much more? No. Why? Because that would be senseless. That's a heart problem, and it means you really don't want fixed. You just want God to forgive you because you don't want to go to hell. Right. Right. A true heart that is repentive turns away from what they've been doing and walks the other way, and he's now led by the Spirit. There is no Spirit if you're not in the garden. How are you going to know what the Spirit says if you don't know the Word? How are you going to know the truth and it shall set you free? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Outside of him and outside of his life and his Word, you have no life. The enemy lies to you and says, you don't deserve to be in the garden. You failed again. You're not holy, so you can't be around what's holy. Get out of the garden. You know what Jesus says? My blood covered every sin in your life, and you are holy because I am holy. Get yourself in a garden. Why? So that his price is not in vain. His cross is not in vain. He didn't suffer Calvary that you and I would cover up and hide. He went to Calvary that you and I would be naked before God and say, this is me. Fix me. Because I can't fix myself. That's who God is in our lives. And the Holy Spirit's just waiting for you to put your life in the garden with him and begin to walk with him every day, no matter how fast, no matter how slow, whether you fall down and you give back up, but stay in the garden. Amen. Don't believe the lie that you don't belong with Christ. Everyone looks at correction as an evil thing. It's not. Correction is an amazing thing. Correction is a discipline or an instruction, a training into something. Cassie, you're a school teacher. When you correct your children, do you correct them because you want them to fail? Why do you correct them? To teach them. To teach them so that they can be educated to know that they'll know how regular life works. I'm thinking of math. If one wasn't trained in math, then how would you know if you ever got the correct change in a grocery store? Because the computer tells you? Well, you're getting to an age where the computer's going to tell you something and the computer's going to be lying. You're going to need a little bit of human reason. If in case anyone hasn't noticed, there's automated intelligence or whatever that is. Maybe that's not even the word for it. I don't know. What I'm saying is you won't know if it's true or if it's a lie. But you have to be trained and you have to be instructed in the ways of the Lord so that when you see something, you'll go, that's not God. That's not how we're supposed to be acting. That's not the fruits of the Spirit. I know because I've spent time walking with God and he's not allowed me to be like that. That's wrong. But if you don't walk with God, how will you know what's wrong? It didn't say to know of the truth and it will set you free. It said know the truth and the truth will set you free. Let's go to Luke 54 and 55. There's a scripture. I don't have time to turn to it. Oh, wow. Yeah, let's go there. Let's go to Isaiah 1:8. Let's go back. Might as well. I'll talk fast. Here's what it says. It says, come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Proverbs 12:1 in the ESV says, I chose this version on purpose. You can thank me later. It says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That's in the Bible. ES version, you might not want to read that if you want to know the truth. I'm telling you, Randy says it's in the King James too, or New King James. Here's what I'm reminding you of. Church, when you avoid correction, when you avoid instruction, or training in the ways of the Lord, you're hurting yourself. And you are believing a lie that instruction and correction from the Lord are terrible. He doesn't want you to have any fun. That's why he won't let me drink on the weekends. He don't want me to have any fun, and that's why I can't live with my girlfriend. He doesn't want me to have any fun, and that's why I can't say what I really want to say. That's the devil lying to you. That's the devil deceiving your heart and telling you that you get to live a way you want Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And on Sunday, as long as you kick it all in and clean it all up on your way, that no one here will understand what you really are. But the truth of the matter is that with God's X-ray vision, he already knows who you are. And he's trying to just get to that place and say, let me touch it. Let me take the coal of my altar and touch it to your lips, that when you speak, it would be the fruits of the Spirit, that people would see me in you and be responding to Jesus in the way you talk and your actions and what you say and what you do. He's crying out for this place. But we can't be afraid to walk to the garden. Let's go to Luke now, the 9th chapter. You know, Jesus doesn't just tell us that it's necessary for us to be corrected. He showed us correction. And I'm going to read to you about two disciples, you may know them, James and John. And here it is, we're in the 9th chapter in the 51st verse. And I'm going to use a couple different versions because certain versions tell a different side of the story. It says in 51, it says, as the time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead to a Samaritan village to prepare for his arrival. Now keep in mind that the Jews and the Samaritans were at odds. This is the woman at the well when Jesus meets her. And she says, what are you doing here? We ain't supposed to have likings with the people like your kind. Like, back off, buddy. I don't want anything to do with you. And he says, you're right. I got water you know not of. He gives her living water. She gets saved. She gives her life to Christ because he reads her mail and tells her that she's not been living for Jesus. And she goes and evangelizes her whole city and they find Jesus. Long story short, you want to talk about a struggle? This was the north side of Lima. This was the south side of Lima. In case you don't know, there really are rules in Lima. And if you're born into this side, you don't get to cross over into this side. See, I didn't understand that. I'm just like, why don't you just marry somebody on the north side if you're on the south side? Who cares? Now we got north and south and we can be in both. That's not the way it works. Why? Because there are boundaries in the natural that man has set up. Jesus didn't care about any of these boundaries. He was going to Samaria and he was going to give them the same thing he had given every other town. Healing, blessing, health. You're broken, he's going to fix it. He was going to demonstrate the power of what God could do even if you were a Samaritan. He had crossed every racial barrier there was, and he did it once, and he wasn't afraid to do it again. It said, but the people of the village did not welcome Jesus because, tells us why, he was on his way to Jerusalem. The only way you would be on your way to Jerusalem is if you were a Jew. They didn't want any Jews coming through, and they definitely didn't want anything he had to give. Well, when James and John, who are disciples, saw this, they said, Jesus, Lord, should we just call down fire from heaven and just burn them up? Jesus turns to James and John. Mind you, these disciples have been walking with Jesus. They've watched miracles, signs, and wonders. They've saw his compassion respond to blind Bartimaeus. They've saw the living water he gave the woman at the well from Samaria. And yet here they are ready to burn up an entire city. And Jesus looks at them and he says, are you kidding me? This is the other version that I'm going to read to you. This is the KJV. It says, Jesus not only rebuked them, but he said, you do not know what spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but it's come to save them. Amen. James and John were immediately corrected by the Spirit of the God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your boss looking at you and going, shut up. Do you even know where you work? Like literally, that's what Jesus did to James and John. He's like, I rebuke you. Do you not even know what this is about? We've been walking around here praying for people, healing people, and now you want to bring down fire. What has gotten in your mind? Men and women, I pose to you today, could you not look at America? Could you not look at America and say that we are in the same situation today. That the people you share the gospel with might not be willing to hear, but that we would not burn them up and call down fire from heaven, that Christ has come to save them, to save them. True fruits of the Spirit. James and John, walking with Jesus, you would think of all things they had spiritual fruit because of what they have seen and what they've walked with and what they've lived with. But even them who walked with him on a daily basis, who prayed, who fasted with him, who took communion by his hand, still wanted to call down fire. You and I being in the garden and with God, but submitting our heart to the Spirit for correction, for direction, for instruction. Here's a question for you. How many of you, in spite of what's happened in our nation, immediately went to your soapbox within 2 hours of hearing what had happened? How many of us became genuinely angry about what happened? Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't be angry. I'm saying that there are people that are literally, their lives are not the same. I'm telling you that America is being shaped by the choices that America is making. But let me remind you, it doesn't matter what storm is going on around you and I. We will mourn because he was a man of the Spirit. He was a born-again Christian that gave his life to Christ. We don't mourn like the world. We know where Charlie is. But I'll tell you this, what we don't do is retaliate evil for evil, because evil is not a fruit of the Spirit. Being frustrated, sticking out nasty words and saying, well, you just need to die. Stop. Guys, that the church would live like Christ in the midst of struggle, that we would lift our heads high, that we would walk in the uprightness of the Spirit, knowing that he could come back today, he could come back tomorrow morning, and that you and I would be found faithful with what we've been given. Let that be what we stand for. Listen, God says that he takes everything that was meant for evil and he turns it into good for what? For those who are called according to my purpose and my will. If we believe that Mr. Kirk was on God's assignment to do what God did, by the way, can I just say, he's imperfect. Everyone is imperfect in what we do. Give the guy kudos for what he did try. Give the guy kudos for what he said and the avenues that he went into that you and I could never reach. I'm not going to no college campus and telling them about Jesus. I'm going to stay right here in the church and tell you about Jesus. And then you're going to go to the highways and the byways and to the country roads and to the Walmarts and to the post office. And you're going to tell those people about Jesus. Why? Because that's what we do. Amen. I want to pray today for people. I felt the Lord tell me a couple things. One, there are people that have been avoiding the garden because of the spirit of condemnation. Now, let me phrase this. This doesn't mean you're possessed with a spirit. It means you are influenced by a spirit of condemnation. And that even if you miss the mark less than you did the other 15 times, you go back to a state of mind that is depressed, anxious-ridden, you're not worthy enough, and you sit in this place of condemnation, and it stops you from growing in Christ. I want to pray for people that have dealt with the spirit of condemnation today. That's number one. Number two, I want to pray for those of you that have said, Pastor Nicole, I know there's things that need to be cut off of me. I don't know that I can do it. And that's why I'm not going. I'm not going to the garden because I'm afraid of failing. I'm afraid of not measuring up to where I think I'm supposed to measure. Notice I said, where you think you ought to measure. This is proof that you're trying to do the work of the cross on your own. Listen, though a righteous man fail 7 times, he gets up 8. Why? Maybe God knew it took 7. I don't know. It's like, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Pop? I don't know. But I know this. If I keep licking, sooner or later, I'm getting to the center where that bubble gum is. And I know that if I stay in the garden and I keep walking with God, sooner or later, the Holy Spirit is going to reach over on the inside of me and say, right there, I'm ready to deal with that. And I'm going to reveal it. I'm going to reveal it all and say, God, search me. Search me in my inner parts. Know me like none other. I give it to you so that you can get to this part in me, because the longer that is present in me, the less I grow. Church, it's possible to have one fruit of the Spirit and not another. Self-control comes easy for people that are introverts. Why? You never say anything, get you in trouble. See what I'm saying? Some things come easier than other people, but there's some things that come really hard, and I can't do it on my own. I need His grace, and I need Him to invade my life and tell me, I got you. I got you. Avoiding the garden because of the spirit of condemnation, I'd like you to come. If you're not in the garden because you think that it's too big and that you don't want to let Him have that place, I want to do it today. And let me tell you something. Thank you, Miss Diane. I want to tell you something. Please don't come up to me after service and say, Pastor Nicole, I was too ashamed, because I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God is here to move now. Not 3 minutes from now, now. He's here to move. And if you want what God has for you, then you come now. And then I'm going to make one last clause. There's already people down here, ain't nobody going to know. They don't know what you're coming down here for. But I'm going to tell you that if you don't have a relationship with God and you want that relationship with Him today, and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I need to be in Jesus because I haven't been. I've been living my life to satisfy my own fleshly lusts, but I need salvation. Then I'm going to ask that you come down today, and we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And then you get to walk in the garden. Because now you're white as snow and you're crimson, and the Lord is waiting for you. Anyone staying out of the garden because of condemnation, come. Those who think that the problem is too big and that God can't possibly fix it and that I'm going to fail, or 3, I just need to be in that garden. Let me remind you, there's no identity issues in God's garden. You want to know how you get over insecurity? Walk with God. Walk with the Father. You want to know how you get over fear and timidity? Walk with Jesus. You want to know how you begin to live a life without sin? Just get with Jesus. Because what happens is, the more you fall in love with Him, the further away all those things that you were drawn to get. And the closer you get to Him, the more you want to be with Him. And if it means you leave everything behind, then that's what you do. Just so I can have a moment with you, Jesus. Church, I'm asking you to stand up and pray. Please don't leave until we've prayed. Mom, Pastor Randy, if you guys would come and help me pray over these people. Do not leave today, please. We are going into 30 minutes of prayer right after this for our miracle service tonight. We are expecting great things, but we are sowing seeds in this atmosphere of expectancy. condemnation right now. I command that spirit of condemnation and the stronghold in that mind to come off of him right now in Jesus' name. Devil, I bind you and I command you to go. Now, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. This has been something that this man struggled with over and over. And God, I thank you that today, right now, in the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus, I see those rooms being opened, Frederick. There's rooms being opened. Open strongholds, thought patterns you've held locked. God says, if you let me have them, I'll take them. But you can't take them back. In the name of Jesus, come off of him right now and set him free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, new life, Frederick. I see new life. I see new life. God says, you're not where you stay. You're not that. You're not where you're staying. I'm
Sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free.
Okay. So, church, I'm asking that tonight we have a miracle service at 6 o'clock. First of all, if you know anyone sick in their body, ask them to come tonight. We're going to pray the prayer of healing over people's lives. But I'm asking you that we see the atmosphere with faith today, right here in this service. See, years ago, there was a prophecy spoke over Only Believe, that this would be a healing center that people would come to from all over the world. Now, if we believe that, then God is bringing people to us to receive healing in this house. And if that's the case, then there's responsibility for us. And that responsibility starts with prayer, that we walk and touch every seat in here, every balcony seat, whatever it is, that we believe that the people that even sit where you pray are going to feel the Spirit of God with them tonight. Not just this Spirit, but the gift of faith would be present in our house. Holy Spirit, all nine gifts, all nine of them, the gift of healing, the gift of faith, the Spirit of wisdom, we want it all present tonight. And I'm asking you to come and pray. If you would, stick with us. The band's going to stay with us. Well, actually music, they're going to play for us. And then a half hour, you're just going to see it on the clock. And then we'll go ahead and go home. And we will see you back here at 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. All right. We love you, church. Let's pray.